Chuck Chat Technorama for Thursday, November 10th, 2005.
Any similarities between this podcast and actual events and or persons living or dead are purely coincidental. Names have been changed to protect the innocent, and no animals were harmed in making this podcast.
This show is a proud member of
the TechPodcast.com network.
Find out more about this and other shows at
www.techpodcast.com.
TechPodcast.com.
If it's tech, it's here.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Unilateral phase detractors. Cardinal gram meters. Six hydrocoptic margal veins. Conductors and fluxes. Prefamulated annulite. Malleable logarithmic casing. Swerving bearings. Panometric fan. Milford trunnions. Ambifacient lunar wane shaft. Lotus O deltoid type. Semi-boloid slots of the stator. Drawn reciprocation dingle arm. Sinusoidal deplaneration. Retroencabulator.
Welcome to Technorama. This podcast may be recorded for quality purposes.
Okay.
Can you tell I've been on tech support too long today?
Sounds like it.
I'm Chuck Tomasi. With me is my co-host, Craig Stepp. He's wheezing and sneezing on the other end. How are you feeling, Craig?
I'll be okay. Okay. Okay.
You better pull through. You've got plane tickets tomorrow.
I know. That's not that bad. I'm going to hit a Benadryl, hit the bed tonight. I'll be a new man in the morning.
Man. It's been 6 months doing this show together, Craig.
Has it been 6 months?
My, how time flies. It's been over 6 months. Well, I've been doing it for 6 months. We're coming up on 6 month partnership, because remember I did 2 weeks solo first.
Yep. Wow. Seems like we just started.
Don't say solo first in the same sentence. Or you get somebody who said, no, Greedo first. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, then sit back and enjoy the experience. If you're an old fart, and you listen to this show for many times already, you know that you never know what to expect. And that would be things like, Craig and I actually have a disagreement tonight.
Dadgummit, Chuck.
Yep.
I've had it.
This came up in an email thread earlier this week, and we're going to drag it right into the podosphere. Yeah. I also go on to a road trip. This is a bit of audio from my Saturday road trip to the junk heap. And what manna from heaven looks like to a geek. We're going to have to find just the right sound effects for that. All right, we will be right back after our traditional starting of On This Day in Tech History.
Let's get on with the killing.
On This Day in Tech History for November 10th, 2005. It's November 10th. This is the 314th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. I always say that. With 51 days remaining in 2005. It was on this date in 1871 that Henry Morton Stanley locates missing explorer and missionary Dr. David Livingstone in Ujiji near Lake Tanganyika, saying, Dr. Livingstone, I presume. And on this date in 1951, direct dial coast-to-coast telephone service begins in the United States. The National Education Television, the predecessor to Public Broadcasting Service in the United States, debuts the children's television program Sesame Street on this date in 1969. Also on this date in 1970, Soviet lunar probe Lukanod 1 is launched. And on this date in 1975, the 729-foot-long freighter SS Edmund Fitzgerald sinks during a storm on Lake Superior, killing all 29 crew on board. Not really tech, but I grew up around there. Also on this date in 1997, telecoms WorldCom and MCI Communications announce a $37 billion merger, the largest merger in U.S. history at the time. Happy birthday goes out on this date in 1695 to John Beavis, the English physician and astronomer. And Andrei Tupolev, the Russian aircraft designer, was born on this date in 1888. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for November 10th, 2005.
Oh my God, they grow out of those pods.
This is Summer Brooks from the Dragon Page, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Chuck Chat Technorama. Can you figure out who's the one and who's the zero?
I met Summer last weekend.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
She was in Madison, and now I have to mentally superimpose the real Summer face onto my mental image Summer face. And it's
the virtual.
It's terribly confusing. Terribly confusing. We're getting a whole bunch of that this weekend, you know.
Oh, my gosh. You know, there goes the vision of all you guys.
Craig, I am bringing blindfolds. If you, if you'd rather hear people than see them, that's what the blindfolds are for.
Hey, it's not like I imagined all you guys looking like Fabio or nothing, but, you know.
I have never tried to hide what I look like on the podcast. Since day one, I've had a picture on the website. Now we've got the webcam. So it shouldn't be a big stretch of the imagination to see me. I mean, I might be a little taller or, you know, fatter in the face or something. I forget to shave, whatever it happens to be, but...
I don't know, that one picture you had with the beard and everything, you looked like you had some weight to you, but after you shaved it, I was like, oh, actually, he doesn't.
Do you like that?
Well, that's the way I looked when I had a beard.
Hey, before we get into the news,
I'm still talking about my beard.
I have some personal news of myself.
Oh, yeah, what's that?
I'm being initiated into the BSG Club.
That's right. What does BSG stand for?
Battlestar Galactica. You know how hard it is for me to type BSG without typing BSD? My motor skills type BSD naturally. I mean, that's just what rolls off the fingers. I've been in Unix land so long that...
You know, I've got some words that do that, especially when I'm in a Windows DOS box and I keep typing LS.
Yep. BSG, for those who don't know, is Battlestar Galactica. And I was, you know, I'm a child of the 70s, born in the 60s, so I remember the original one back in 77.
That's groovy, Chuck.
Yeah. I'm tripping.
Can you dig it?
Wow. Oh, man.
All right. Come on.
Anyway, a friend at work loaned me his season one DVD, and I am currently through episode 1.5. I don't have the pilot, the 2-hour miniseries, unfortunately, so I kind of know who the characters are and whatnot, but I'm piecing together some of the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm enjoying it.
That's good. It'll take a couple episodes and to get under your skin, and you'll be loving it.
I don't think it'll be that long.
No. Well,
you want to know? You want to know why? Because I was watching it instead of doing the On This Day in Tech History. I went, "Oh crap! Showtime in an hour."
Okay, maybe you're already hooked. No, I mean, it just took me a couple episodes. Once I got everybody's relationships down, you know, I was hooked. You know.
Yep.
But yeah, I've enjoyed it ever since the.
It's a little confusing when they have, you know, imitation Cylons that look like real people and other characters, and you're going, now, is that the real one, or is that a fake one? Or, you know, what context are we in right now?
You know what's cool is when you see the metallic ones,
yep.
and they don't show them all that often. I mean, they're starting to show them a little more often now, but they don't show them that often. So whenever you see them, you're like, oh, crap. You know? Yeah. It's like, something's going down. Here he is. And, you know, they always look pretty scary. So.
They're liquid metal.
Salicata.
All right, on with the news.
Bring it on.
All right, there's been some information going back and forth about will the FCC ban VoIP or voice over IP for people who don't have 911 service and yada, yada, yada. And the latest I've heard is they won't require internet phone service providers to cut off customers who don't have reliable 911 emergency call service. That includes Skype, Gizmo, a whole bunch of others. So we're still safe on that front. The agency, in a notice issued late Monday, said providers that have not achieved full 911 compliance by November 28th will not be forced to discontinue such service to any existing customers.
Yeah, well, you know, they need to... I understand the importance of having 911 service, but you know what? There's cell phones everywhere.
Yeah, they should be able to. You know, some people don't have that option.
You guys, I don't know.
It's a touchy subject.
It is, but I don't know. I think so. There's so many cell phones out there. I don't think it's that big of an issue, as much as it. I mean, you know, I'm sure there's some. You know, they give a cell phone to anybody. They pass them out like suckers at the bank.
Moral of the story, if you're signing up for voice over IP service, make sure you know what you're getting. Can you get 911 or not? And if not, how are you going to get it? Are you going to get it through a cell phone or run over to the neighbor's house?
Hey, I did want to ask something, and I'm not sure if I haven't heard anything about this in years. But remember they were saying that any cell phone that has power, you should be able to get 911? Even if you don't have service?
That's what I do remember hearing that. And then people were turning in their old dead cell phones to...
Yeah. For, like, elderly and stuff. You know, they just... Yeah, whatever happened to that? Can you still do that?
We're going to have to
That would solve that problem, wouldn't
it? Yeah. We're going to have a call out to the listener community to clarify that one.
Hey, you guys!
Send an email.
That's right. Or call our listener line at 206-222-CHAT.
Yep, I'm starting to say triple two chat. It's more fun.
Triple two. Oh, yeah.
You can't say it.
Triple two?
Triple two.
Triple two.
Go on about this. Now, do you get hit by a lot of spam?
Do I get hit by a lot of spam?
Yeah.
Actually, you know, not so much now because of Google. I've been using Gmail, so
I use,
they do a pretty good job.
At work, I use SpamBase, which is a Bayesian filter. Keep the junk out.
And Outlook.
And now that same technology is being used for
RSS feeds.
Now, are they filtering out junk RSS, or tell me how they're using this?
I think it's actually the other way around, because you got so many articles that come in through RSS, and like me, I do see a lot of duplicates in my RSS feeds. And I think what they're looking to do is give you a way to say, these are the kind of articles that I want to read more about, and it would keep a good list, a list of good words in articles that you know, liked, and it would give those articles more prominence on the top of your list, you know, so it'd be easier to find the things you're interested in.
It's sort of like your own Google for news. You can train it to what you want to see, and
yeah, so you use the learning system, the Bayesian learning system, to kind of tell it what articles you're more interested in, rather than the opposite way of trying to filter out spam.
Well, yeah, because if you know, like, if you subscribe to something like Slashdot or Dig, you get a lot of articles.
Yeah, and you know, here's a good example. I signed up, I subscribed to the Yahoo's Entertainment feed, just because, you know, sometimes they got stuff on news, but of course they got crap like about Britney Spears and, you know, what are babies doing today? But anyway, they'll have like three articles on there. I'm like, man, you know, why do I need all that? But I'm sure with something like this, you can kind of train it to not show those.
Woohoo!
Or show whatever you're interested in. If you're interested in Britney Spears' baby pictures, I don't know.
Speaking of babies, this from CNET.com. There is a tie-in
here. Hey, you got an announcement to make?
No. That would require us to put a candle in the window and wait for three wise men to show up.
Okay.
The scientist who cracked the human genome now hopes to exploit the properties of DNA to solve the world's pending energy crisis. J. Craig Venter, who gained world fame in 2000 when he mapped the human genetic code, is behind a new startup called Synthetic Genomics, which plans to create new types of organisms that ideally would produce hydrogen, secrete non-polluting heating oil. That sounds like something right out of Harry Potter. Or be able to break down greenhouse gases instead.
Or a sci-fi porn movie.
Break down greenhouse gases instead of produce greenhouse gases like most of us. The initial focus will be on creating biofactories for hydrogen and ethanol, two fuels seen as playing an increasing role in powering cars in the future.
Hmm.
Pretty cool stuff.
That does sound interesting.
That, yeah. There's something in the back of my mind going, yeah, that's a great idea, but it's DNA. Does that constitute life? And I don't know. There's just a whole... I can see the stem cell thing coming back to life and people going, oh, wait a minute. Oh, you can't do that. No, no.
I don't know. I don't know. I'll let somebody else smarter than me figure that out.
Right. We have we have some listener feedback.
Oh, yeah?
From our good friend Victor Cajiao over at the Typical PC User Podcast.
Is he calling us out? Because we've had that like three shows in a row.
You know, it is kind of sounding like a theme, isn't it?
Yeah.
But we got the voicemail on the last show from Charles Stell asking about how often and how do you clean your computer and whatnot. And Victor, I said, sounds like a job for Super Victor on the Typical
Victor
PC.
Man.
Victor. In his tight spandex underwear, here he comes to clean your PC. No, and he left us some voicemail.
Hello, Chuck and Craig. If it's Monday morning about 6 o'clock, it must be Victor calling from the crowded California highways, just finishing the Chuck Technorama Sunday show. Great show, you guys. I wanted to thank you so much for the entire series on Mythbusters. It was just great to hear that interview, and you guys did an outstanding job. Thank you. Second of all, I heard that you guys called me out as far as spring cleaning of PCs. And guess what? If you go to the archives at www.typicalpcusers.com, I did two shows actually called spring cleaning. And if you look that up and search, you'll hear entire shows dedicated to how to do everything to spring clean your PC outside and inside. And that will take care of that. Lastly, I just wanted to say, can't wait till this weekend, and I'll see you guys at the conference. A couple of cocktails on me. Take care, guys. 101.
We're on the plane, Victor. We're going. We're there.
I'm so there. I'm there.
If you're almost offering free booze, we're there.
Sign me up.
Oh, thank you very much, Victor. We appreciate that. I almost knocked my iPod right off the desk, and that would have been a boring plane ride without an iPod.
He's also a member of FIT, our super friends of podcasting, and that is Victor Man.
And you are the boy what?
Keep going.
No, I really appreciate that.
Ready to get your geek on? Easy to check out Technorama.
I got a strange story for you.
How do you?
What does manna from heaven look like to a geek? Well, I'll tell you. My buddy Ryan was driving along the side of the, driving down the road, and he glanced over at the side of the road, and he saw a box, and he saw a little blue wire sticking out of it, and he said, oh, I know what that is. And he stopped, and he took a look around, and he picked it up, and he goes, oh, that's heavy. He thought it was filled with water or something. Nope. There was a little blue wire. It was the lead for a box of Cat 5. So he glanced around surreptitiously, you know, kind of sneaking, make sure nobody was coming out going, hey, that's my box of cable! There was nobody like that. And he made away with it. He got a box of like 500 feet or more of quality Cat 5. I don't know if it fell out of somebody's pickup truck or whatever, but of course we made all kinds of jokes about how it was set loose when the owner of the house went to wireless and go be free. I release you into the wild. I'm turning you loose. But then it turned feral, so we came up with the box of Feral Cat 5.
So
a geek finding a full box of network cable is like the episode of The Simpsons where Homer finds the overturned sugar truck. Like, I've died and gone to heaven. Yeah, that's what we felt like. It was pretty funny.
I've died and gone to heaven.
So I thought it was funny when he told me we were just rolling on the floor. But
that is pretty funny.
The Feral Cat 5 was... We were thinking of other technologies you could turn loose. And
I hope the guy that didn't lose it didn't listen to the show.
You never know. We're picking up a whole bunch of Appleton listeners.
yeah, let's move right along.
Moving on. Yeah, I can sell you a box of Cat 5 cable cheap.
Yeah. Hey, come over here, guy. Come here. I got a deal for you.
On to the main stories. We have a disagreement. This past week, as you heard, Victor Cajal was posting an article to Dig. Actually, one of his listeners posted an article and said that Victor was not too happy with some of the service he got from Apple on iPod. Yes?
We got a disagreement?
We have a disagreement. I'm getting to that part.
Bring it on.
In this corner, wearing the Technorama t-shirt.
And here goes Wilson Williams. Go, he's going for it.
I think if this was a battle of weight, I would lose.
You know what? That really hurts. Okay, let's talk about our disagreement.
All right. Anyway, Victor posted an article, or his listener posted an article about him, and he was getting quite a few digs, which is other people saying, I like this, I want to kind of bookmark it. They give their seal of approval, and they click on the dig it button. And based on popularity, eventually it shows up on the front page. Well, he was going up in popularity. Then all of a sudden we noticed if you did a search for his particular phrase on the article title, it was gone. It was removed from the search results. And he found
that was kind of weird at first.
Yeah. And we found out why. Apparently users can rate an article as lame. If they don't think it's very good, they can go... lame and be done with it. And if enough people rate it lame, it's removed from the search results and you can't find it anymore. Mm-hmm. And we just went, that struck me as wrong. Now, Craig, you think that's a pretty good policy.
Well, if enough people said, yeah, it's lame, yeah, take it out.
Okay,
I will say it is kind of funny that it would remove it from the search because, see, I dug the story. And it still showed up under my profile as one of the stories I dug, so I was able to pull it right back up.
Right, but nobody else can search for that now.
Yeah, because, you can also, instead of just calling a story, clicking the problem pull down and marking it as lame, you can also mark it as a duplicate. So if, you submitted the same thing I did, it gets kicked out too. I think it's part of the way the system works is if something's lame and enough people say this ain't even worth looking at, yeah, have it remove it.
All right. Now, what about if I have a whole bunch of friends in tech that say don't like an article from somebody? We're just going to gang up and we're going to mark every article he posts as lame.
Mm-hmm.
We can keep that person from getting any recognition, even though it's all personally based. Or if you take it to a corporate level, somebody says, hey, Google did this, and Google doesn't like that. All they got to do is sick their anti-PR team on it, and it gets marked as lame, and it's gone.
Well, sure. But in all fairness, Victor was able to email the dig people and ask him, why is it not showing up in the search anymore? And they responded.
Because they forgot to put Kevin Rose in the title.
No, but you know what I'm saying. They actually responded to him and ended up telling him why.
Well, that so just I still means think their support's pretty good.
However, I can set up 20 accounts and give myself 20 digs.
And then you get marked lame.
No, I'm saying I can mark myself. I can, you know what I'm saying. I can dig myself 20 times is what I'm saying.
I dig you, you dig me. We all dig for ice cream, something like that.
Yeah. But I think if they have some kind of policy, if it's marked lame, say, I don't know, I'm just guessing, 3 times within the entire day, maybe it won't, but if it's marked lame within a few times within a short period of time, or something like that, maybe they're, I don't know, it's kind of hard to tell because they make the rules up behind the scenes, it's hard to tell.
Yeah, I don't know, it should still show up in the search results, but we'll move on. You be the judge whether you like
it. I do kind of agree with that, and that it should show up in the search results.
Yep.
However, I think it should, if enough people marked as lame, never make it to the front page.
Oh, sure, that I can understand, but removing from the search results just kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah, and it is kind of funny, and that's not the only time that's happened. I've dug something, went back and looked, and I'm like, Why can't I not? Because I was going to send the link to somebody. I went to search for the keywords.
Yep.
It didn't show back up. I was like, no crap, but I can go into my profile and pull it up and send in the link. It's fine. But
anyway. Let's move on.
And that's it.
We got an email from Hit the Bell. Thank you.
All right.
We got an email from a listener who said, hey, I've got a new tool for syncing your MP3 player on Windows. It's called Robert's MP3 Loader. You got it like that. So Robert Schoolfield sent us a URL, which we will include in the show notes, of course. This is a utility that moves all podcasts found on a directory tree using a recursive search, so you can hierarchically do that, to a directory on your MP3 player device. You don't have to use Explorer to browse the directories, find the files, move them one by one, put it to your player. It can then fill your player to capacity with songs, choosing them by random from your MP3 collection. It's interesting to see what's new on your player after it's done. Program's called Robert's MP3 Loader. It's released no cost, public domain, and we'll give you the URL again. Did you have a chance to check this out?
I looked at his page. I have not installed it yet.
But you did have some feedback on similar functionality from other things.
Yeah, and I think his program's totally cool, but I've been using to put some podcasts on my my PDA. I've been using Windows Media Player. Actually, I take that back. It's okay. It's not my favorite. iTunes I like better, but anyway, Windows Media Player has a nice sync function. As soon as I put my PDA in the cradle and Windows Media Player's up, you can tell it to sync to one of the SD card, the compact flash, the internal memory, either one of those. And you can do the same thing with an external hard drive. You just tell it to sync, and you can set limit this to 250 meg, or and give it criteria like pull everything from my main library, shuffle it. You can do stuff like that too. But I think this is cool because I think my way actually syncs the entire card. So if it'll wipe the card and put new stuff on it.
Okay.
His way, I think. If it was I had an Arcos MP3 player, and it was basically just an external hard drive.
Right, right.
I have a bunch of music on it. I don't want it to wipe the whole thing and just fill it up with podcasts.
Well, we're going to throw this out to the community and let everybody check it out.
Oh, it's totally cool. I think it's awesome that he wrote that.
If anyone has a real review of the product, they've used it, they like it, they don't like it, what works, what doesn't, drop us an email, let us know, or send us an MP3 file. That would be even better. You could send that to chuck.tomasi, T-O-M-A-S-I, @gmail.com. That's a better place to receive MP3 files than the Chuck Chat one, just for capacity reasons. Now, getting into what we did this last weekend, I went on a bit of a road trip to Milwaukee. There's a computer recycling place down there where you can bring a whole bunch of trashy stuff. And I had a basement full of garbage to haul away. I brought about 15 PCs. Yeah.
I was going to say, did you stop by and get that smell of Laverne and Shirley beer?
No, I didn't get a what was that, Schlotz or something?
But Schlotzkies.
I brought it down, and this is the first installment of what I did, where I went, and some of the cool stuff that I saw. I apologize if you're listening to this in the car. Some of the audio levels are a little bit whack.
You've probably seen them in all states from... From gunshots to pristine. What are some of the more interesting ones that have come through here? Look at this. Stack of network cards. Box of network cards. Stacks of hard drives. CD-ROMs and burners.
About 4 months ago, load from Pewock, a company out there.
Something had to be gooed or gunked or...
Well, actually...
baby crap.
They lost probably $10,000 worth of equipment.
Fire?
Guy got fired.
Okay.
Came back to clean out his desk and poured acid over 32 17-inch plasma monitors.
Oh!
We got them in a bag. They were useless to us.
Sure.
We couldn't even touch them. I told Thomas, you unload that with the forklift, and I'm no way. I said, I don't know what you're going to do with it. He said, well, they got to be cleaned up before we can process them. So we took them in our little loading bay over there and clean them up with soap and baking soda and this to neutralize the acid, and then we just piled them in a box and shipped them out to New Jersey. What a waste.
What do they do in New Jersey?
That's where they recycle.
Oh, okay, that's the processing.
But this guy went nuts. Everything is just covered.
Oh, man.
Keyboards, the screens, everything. Didn't, like, get fired, I guess.
You guys
I've seen them come in and do painted tie-dye colors and this and that.
Well, the case mods are probably interesting to you guys. See what some of these people do.
Yeah, we also, well, you know, we do copy machines.
Oh, there's a microfiche over there.
That just came in yesterday.
Oh, my gosh.
Those are the TVs that we, they're pretty much junk. You can't use them as a monitor. It's just pretty much a VGA.
Yep. But, I mean, it's got the glass tray and the slide. I remember using these as a kid in the library. Felt like James Bond when
this
you go looking.
This is probably something similar. I just threw this one over this morning.
Oh, wow. That's realist a, something. Oh, that's a microfiche also. It's got the index on the bottom. You can see.
We do
set tags on
like
it.
These, he gets a certain amount of money for these.
That's
the USB
LaserJet 2. That's a 3. Two's, that's a 4.
2's, 3's. These are 4's and 5's over here, or 5's and 6's.
Five. We still got plenty of 5's and 6's at work.
One like that. I pulled it right off the pallet, took it home, and it works fine. There's not a thing
wrong. Isn't that funny?
I told my wife, she says, well, what about the other one? I said, there's enough toner in this thing to last us for 5 years.
So are you allowed to just pick what you want?
As long as we let Tom know what we're
okay.
Here, and it's nothing that he wants for himself.
That's why pecking order.
Exactly. We have certain pallets that we pile stuff on so he can go through them first.
Okay.
Because he knows what he wants to sell or what he doesn't want to sell or keep for his personal use. And then we get it, and it either goes to eBay or once it gets to that area there, which is my stripping area, it's gone. But these are Weiss. Terminals.
Yep, I've had those. They start to whine after a while. Yeah. The flyback transformer gets really noisy.
The USBs, these he can sell. The APCs, as long as they're 1,000 or better. These are, he hasn't decided.
Wow, rack mounted APCs, floor mounted, and everything.
He hasn't decided what he wants to do with these.
The paper, oh, cash registers.
Mm-hmm.
I reckon.
And then we got mixed aluminum, breakage with steel parts in that we can't get out.
What, that's a chassis for what? Network switches?
Probably. It's been
in. You are listening to Chuck Chat Technorama.
Hey, if you like that, and I know you do, you remember, if you're a longtime listener of Chuck Chat, you remember my first SoundSync tour was of my basement. A lot of those machines are now in that warehouse. But if you like that segment, wait until the next one when we go into the back of the warehouse.
Ooh.
It opened up, and I was in awe. I mean, kid in a candy store. Now, granted, most of the candy had already been chewed on or spit out, but this is cool stuff.
It's about as cool as gum under your table.
Well, yeah, if you're into that kind of thing. It was a good thing. I am going to be editing up a few more of those segments and bring you through that warehouse. I've got, that was the first piece of it, but it gets better.
That's cool. I'd love to go. I have half of mine just to come up there and go with you to that place. That sounds cool.
Actually, I do have to go back. We purchased some equipment that I saw sitting there that we can use for spare parts at work, and the purchase rec went through today, so I will be heading back to that place and
really?
Seeing what I can get. Yeah.
Or is it something cool? Can you tell us?
Well, it's some disk shelves for our file servers.
Some floppies.
It's not terrible. They had a big, big box of floppies.
It's some 8-inch floppy drives.
You know, I didn't see any 8-inch floppy drives. There were a few things that I did not see, but there were a whole lot of things I have recognized before and a whole lot of things I didn't recognize. But we're going to wrap this up a little early tonight. Yeah. But
I do
you've
have
got
something.
A Geek Library thing for us.
I do. And I downloaded one of these things to check out. It's the Microsoft gives away express versions of their development software over at MSDN. If you're into this kind of thing, they mm-hmm. have Visual Basic 2005 Express Edition, the C# 2005, C++ 2005. All these are Express and Visual J# 2005. All these are Express editions. They're free to download. And the SQL Server 2005 Express Edition, which is cool if you want to start developing something on your laptop or your desktop machine. You know, I think there's a limit to how much data you can actually put in that thing, but it'll get you started.
Link in the show notes.
You don't even have to mention it. It would be there.
Good stuff,
like
man.
Magic. Like magic.
Magic Johnson?
Like magic.
Oh, no, don't start with the singing. Save that for tomorrow night.
Okay. No, I'm not going to be doing my... I got to fly in there at 11 o'clock.
We're going to have lots of blackmail material on this show in the future.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, you can give us a call at the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. You can email Chuck at chuck@chucktech.com, chuckchat.com. You can email me, Craig, at chuckcheck.com. That's K-R-E-G. And if you're in the Ontario area, this coming weekend, we'll be there. So give us an email or call at the listener line, and we'll see if we can meet up with you. And visit our website at chuckchat.com for the forums, all the swag, webcam, all that good stuff. Links to the Friends in Tech website where our forums are at.
Woohoo!
Yay!
Parting words of wisdom, dear sir.
Remember to spay or neuter your cat fives.
Well, that goes well with the box of feral cat.
That's right. Hey, Chuck, you busy this weekend?
Why?
Let's go.
Road trip.
That's right.
There we go. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned. Stay subscribed. Get subscribed. And as always, big binary high five.
1-0-1.
Till next time. Bye now.
Bye-bye.